My dear respected friends and colleagues, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's massive favor on us, massive mercy on us, a big amount of mercy on us and a big blessing on us, for which there is no limit, no upper limit, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in this limited amount of time. Me and you together, we have gathered, and Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to sit together for some amount of time. And this is called a majlis, a gathering in which we have come together and sat around together. Now if we look at this time, today is the day off, it is the weekend, and there will probably be at this moment in time thousands of gatherings, different types of get-togethers. There's no doubt in this. And different gatherings with different names, with different objectives. But there's a difference here. This majlis and this gathering is unique and different to those majalis, those other gatherings that are taking place wherever at this moment in time. Now listen to this and understand this point, that this point to where we've come to, and the conclusion or the result of this gathering will come in front of us in the hereafter. What's the difference between this majlis? This is a masjid, it's in within four walls. There are some individuals sitting here, some children sitting here, some daif people, some older and weak people. But in comparison to this, there are many big gatherings taking place at this moment in time, with a lot of colourful gatherings and people with wealth and status, and there'll be food and there'll be a feast. And what will there not be in that gathering? And those places, those gatherings, they'll be decorated and adorned. And can you hear what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm saying? Yes? Can you? Good. Okay, fine. So here, where we are, there's only a few people here, mashallah, sat down, seated. So what's the difference between this gathering and the rest, all of the other gatherings at this moment in time? And there's a reason this, that maybe the other gatherings are big, a lot of people, a lot of attendees, and color and glitter and glow. And here there's simplicity, there's no extravagance. So what's the difference here? How can it be that this small majlis, the hal of this gathering is that from this, from the earth to the heavens, the angels have surrounded this gathering? Say subhanallah, praise that, what a great reward Allah Ta'ala is giving. If you think that from the earth to the heavens, the angels have gathered and surrounded this majlis, and this many other gatherings in the world that are colorful and decorated and extravagant, there's nothing. There's no spirituality in comparison, nothing at all. So why is this difference? Why is this difference present? The difference is that this gathering has a nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This gathering is connected to Allah, and the other gatherings are connected. This gathering is connected to Allah, and other gatherings are connected to the dunya. So when something or somebody has a nisbat connection with Allah, then the value of that thing or person is very great, very massive indeed, big indeed. And there are many expensive homes in the world, big palaces and mansions and decorated villas, etc. Many abodes. But that home that has a link with Allah becomes Baytullah, the house of Allah. And the value of that home is, if you watch and look at that home, just by looking at it, the sins are removed. Rahmah comes. Because that house, that place, that building has a nisbat connection with Allah. It becomes Baytullah, the house of Allah. And there are great kitabs that have been revealed. Many other books have been printed in different colors and languages and images. But that kitab which has a link with Allah becomes Kalam Allah. It becomes Allah's kitab, Allah's book. And what's the difference? The difference is that even if the Kalam Allah is printed on cheap paper and the other books are printed on beautiful and expensive paper, but the difference is that the Kalam Allah is a link with Allah. So the piece of paper or document on which Allah Ta'ala's words are written, to look at that kitab is ziyarah, to touch it, thawab, to read it, thawab, and to practice on it, thawab upon thawab. Reward upon reward. Immense reward, because it's linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many great people, there are people who are normal, me, you, the dunya is full of people. But that individual human being who has a link with Allah, he becomes a wali Allah, he becomes the friend of Allah. And the difference between him and the rest of the human beings is like the difference between the heavens and earth, because he has a link with Allah. And his status is that if he raises his hands and does dua, Allah Ta'ala says, I accept your dua, you are my friend. You are my friend. So for this reason, this nisbat of this majlis, this is linked to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this majlis, this gathering, it's linked when it is with Allah. Then what is the kamal of this gathering? That the heavens and the earth, the gap between the heavens and the earth is full of nur. And the angels hasten towards this gathering, which is a link with Allah. Because this majlis has a link with Allah. And we are sat here for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. So what's the benefit we earn for sitting in this majlis? Subhanallah. What's the benefit that we earn? Now one thing we need to think, that after this dunya will come another dunya, another world, and we have to depart from here, all of us, whether we accept it or not, but we have to depart from here. We will depart from, we will have to leave this dunya one day, isn't it? We will have to depart from this dunya and go to the next world. And when a person reaches to the next world, arrives into the next world, then the most regret that will take place, the regret and remorse, and a person will lament over one point mostly. One point, which is very cheap to acquire here. But we won't be able to acquire it there. And here, it's so cheap, easy, you could say, easy to earn here. But in the hereafter, we'll not be able to earn this, the points, the plus points. So let's think about it. Here, on planet Earth, that is so easy to do this action. That old man, young man, child, woman, man, everywhere you go, you can attain this ni'mah, this great, great result. But in the hereafter, we cannot get 1%. We cannot even get an atom's where you can look for it, but you won't find it. You can ask, but nobody will give you anything. Nobody. In the hereafter, yaar, this is such an easy thing. They say, for you, it's small. In the hereafter, it's so expensive and valuable. You thought it was small and had no value. You thought it had no value. You didn't reach, you didn't attain the message. What did the Quran tell you about this? What did the hadith tell you? What was their message? What did Mawlana Sahib announce? And you used to play games and ignore and reject the message. That time you didn't value the good advice on planet Earth. And in the hereafter, we will regret. We will regret so much. My brothers, I'm not giving a speech. I am reviving your concern. Whoever does amal on what I'm saying will earn Jannah, inshallah. Paradise. Remember what I'm saying. Don't look at me like this. I've come to give a speech or to waste your time. There are many speeches. Many people come and go left and right, left and center. My link is not with taqreer, with speech. I've come to speak about amalan, practical life. May Allah Ta'ala make this discussion beneficial for me, this majlis, and beneficial for you as well. For the sake of the akhirah. Because I've come to share the worry of the hereafter. Because this generation is very far at this moment in time from the reality of the hereafter. And qiyamah is very close. Shayateen, the devil, nafs, desires, and our conditions have imprisoned us, that we have forgotten our objective and destination. If we don't wake up today, then a very bad time can come on upon us. So listen to what I'm saying attentively, clean. And when you hear, then bring it into practice. Bring it into practice. So that neither is your time wasted, nor is my time wasted. Alhamdulillah. That's why I'm here at your service, that I can correct myself, I can improve myself, and you can also correct yourself and improve yourself. And if you have yaqeen and certainty that, let's do dua to Allah, that Allah, after salah, that I didn't even know that I was going to come and praise Allah, but now my heart is empty and blank, so inshallah I will benefit from this gathering and you will benefit from this gathering. Allah, allow me to say something beneficial. Allah allowed these words to come into my heart and mind, and I've developed them at your service. That I'm not a muqarrab, I'm not a speaker, I don't give speeches, nor do I know how to give a speech, how to structure a speech. Now I don't know. So what we're discussing today is very valuable, and I'm benefiting a lot with the fadl of Allah, with your blessings and your barakah and Allah's blessings. I'm benefiting, and inshallah I'll do amal on this. So what did I say in the beginning? Where did we start from? Do you remember? I was saying that one thing here is very easy to do on planet Earth, which is very difficult or impossible to do in the hereafter. One thing. And in the hereafter, we will be desperately in need of that item, which is easy and very simple to implement here on planet Earth. And for that item hereafter, even if, for example, you have the kingdoms upon the kingdoms, upon the lands, upon the countries of the world, and you're saying thereafter, I'll give you all of this, just give me this one thing, and nobody will even take that in exchange to give to you what you want when you'll be so desperate. But here in the world, it was very cheap and easy. For example, water, whatever tap you open, water comes out. But if you are stuck in the desert and you are thirsty, here we waste water in the city, urban areas, but there in the desert, one drop of water will be very valuable, won't it? Want to be available? So from this you can imagine the example I've given. That place in the hereafter where we are about to travel to, where we will reach, is very soon it will come. Maybe in our next meeting, I may not be present, you may not be present, you may disappear, I may disappear. It's not necessary that you have to be ill. To us, when nowadays you don't need illness, that, oh, he was fine, what happened? Oh, he just suddenly had a heart attack and he passed away. Just suddenly he went. We didn't know what was happening. What is that, my friends? For that what we have here today, we won't get in the hereafter. Let's value it, grab it, embrace it, take all of it, because we won't get in the hereafter. And here we get the item. What is that? So first, now promise to yourself that we will definitely not waste that resource here in the world. Do you promise? Do we all promise? Think about it. That's why I'm emphasizing. And I've heard this today as well. So let's make a true, solid promise to ourselves. We will not waste this resource. Whether you're a young child, listen to what I'm saying clearly. Don't waste this resource here, because you won't get it in the hereafter. Where my father's gone, grandfather's, grandparents gone, grandmother's gone, my auntie's gone, my mother's sister's gone, my dad's sister's gone. Nobody. And in the graves, they're shouting to us, do something, do something. We passed away and we missed out. Don't miss out. Shall I tell you what is that item that we'll be desperately in need of in the hereafter? Shall I tell you? The good deeds. One good deed. Say subhanAllah. One good deed, which is so easy to perform now, will be desperate for in the after. This world is full of good deeds, full of chances, full of opportunities. Alhamdulillah. So many opportunities there are to earn good deeds. Allah sent us to the world for this reason. This is why Allah sent us to this world. Allah Ta'ala said, I'll give you food, chapatis, bread, clothes, wife, children, shops, businesses, health, everything I'll give to you. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah says, I'm your wakeel, your protector, your supplier. So you have tawakkal, trust in me, Allah Ta'ala says. And who gives? I will give, Allah says. I will keep on giving to you. I will keep on giving to you. You just practice, Allah Ta'ala says. You just practice. Do good deeds. So what is tawakkal? Allah, the pious preachers have said that your duty, you fulfill your task, and Allah will fulfill His promise. Don't leave the task that we've been given. The pious preachers have said to us that tawakkal Allah, what does this mean? What's the definition? That the task that Allah sent me to the earth for, Allah says, you carry on practicing. This is tawakkal. And my promise to you, Allah says, just assign that to me, allow me to fulfill it. If we keep comparing, that I should not leave the duty that's been given to me by Allah for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's responsibility. That I'm stood at my shop, my business, and Allah Ta'ala is inviting me, give me a missed call. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah. Missed call's coming on my phone. And I don't pay attention to the missed call. I don't listen to the phone. Rather, normally we look at the phone very quickly today. Oh, whose missed call is that? Even if you're in the masjid, very hard. Even if you're praying, I've seen people, they stood and they're praying. And even then they look with a crooked eye towards the phone. Who's phoning me while I'm praying? They look at the screen. Allah. And if Allah is calling us, Rabbul Alameen, at the morning time, Fajr time, Allah is calling, come. Whose missed call is this? Whose missed call is this? Have I never thought of this? That let me look towards my phone when Allah is calling me. The missed call from Allah. Why don't I look? So there's a big difference here. Fajr Salah and Isha Salah. Big difference. And Jummah Salah and Fajr Salah. Ramadan, and a person just comes in Ramadan and disappears. This is our deen, that we disappear when we want. That everything, we just lay emphasis on Ramadan. And after that, everything finishes. In Ramadan, you don't get a place in the masjid. Go quickly. Let's get there first. First row, second row. Yes? So this is not our deen, Islam. It's not just confined to Ramadan. Maybe that what we earned in Ramadan, and then after that, all the mistakes we make, we have wiped away our rewards of Ramadan. Yes? It's just like, for example, when you press the wrong button, yes, and you delete all the data, you delete it. For example, in Ramadan, you tried your best and practiced, and then after Ramadan, you do such a sin that it wipes away all the good deeds of Ramadan. So Deenul Islam doesn't mean that we retire when we want and regret, and we leave things when we want. Allah says, no, every second we are mu'mins. Don't say, I've just prayed Salah, now I don't need to pray again. How do I know that my Salah is secure? Except it. I need to protect the Salah I've prayed. I need to protect it. And this is something we need to take care of, that we need to look after our amal. We need to be alert, because Allah Ta'ala has given us this function, that this is what you need to do. Allah Ta'ala says, don't turn away from the task I've given you, the duty I've given to you. Good deeds. And what is tawakkal Allah? Allah says, tawakkal Allah is that the actions that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the duty Allah has given to us, we need to continue doing that action and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this subhanAllah, if I'm stood at my workplace, business place, shop, and Allah gives missed call, then leave the workplace. This was the style of the Sahaba Ikram. Allah Ta'ala's call had just started. They dropped everything, the dunya there, and they went to Allah Ta'ala's call. And this is our style. This is how we should be. Now today, who does this? Because we don't know about good deeds. We don't value good deeds. Imagine what our hal will be in the hereafter. In the hadith, many times you would have heard from the respected scholars about the hereafter. And I'm saying this from the pain in the heart, that those opportunities we're wasting in the world today for one good deed, a person in the hereafter will be desperately running around pleading to people. This is not a story. Allah Ta'ala has given us messages and told us. Allah has given us information, communication. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us information. That's why the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were sent to us. They were super individuals, superhuman beings. Allah gave them wahi, revelation. Then through a method, Allah Ta'ala gave gave the communication, the method, the information to the prophets, and Allah said, deliver it to the human beings. Mubashiran wa nadira. Mubashiran wa nadira. They didn't come to tell people to worship them. No. They came to teach us ibadat. Worship, remembering Allah. They didn't come to teach us how to farm, build houses, do engineering and professions. No. The Prophets of Allah said, we have come to teach you ibadat, how to worship Allah, how to recognize Allah. That we need to understand millions of times over that Allah is ma'bud, Allah is the protector, the creator. And with this fikr, Allah Ta'ala sent us to this dunya, Allah's hukum upon us, we should not waste it. We shouldn't waste it. And how do we leave salah? Salah, prayer. Yani we lose the passion for salah, for fajr. I swear by Allah, for the sake of Allah, open your eyes, open your eyes. One salah to leave salah, the adab, the punishment. Salah is fard. Salah is fard. Prayer is fard on us, compulsory. Prayer in congregation is wajib, compulsory. Must. And to leave salah is a big punishment, is a big punishment which starts from death. Death, tawbah, tawbah, may Allah forgive, may Allah forgive. May Allah save us. Good deeds are separate. But big adab, punishment starts if we leave salah at the time of death. For the sake of Allah, don't commit this sin. Don't shun Allah Ta'ala's order. We've come to this country, to this hemisphere. Could a person imagine that masjids will be constructed everywhere? And on every corner there are masjids. MashaAllah, your young children are sleeping. Your wife sleeping. You're sleeping in the morning, you have to go to work. Tell me, what barakah will there be? Barakah in your work. Even if you earn 100,000 rupees or whatever. Allah says, your rupees you've earned in the wrong way. Not the way that I promised you, that you remember me and I'll give to you. Allah says that I've given you this wealth as a punishment. That with this money and wealth, your children will be disobedient. You will earn haram. You will purchase wrong things. With your own eyes, you will see. Allah says, I'll give you the punishment. But if you follow Allah's hukam, and if the time for salah comes, you pray salah. And at the time of work, you go to work. And even if you earn £5 from that 100,000, it's better to earn the five. It's more in barakah and reward. Because Allah Ta'ala's system, you are following Allah's system and earning that £5. We count. Don't count. Allah Ta'ala says, don't count. Look at my barakah. Look at my blessings. Allah says, look at the blessings. What is my barakah in any action of yours? So without barakah, a person is empty, devoid of any ruh. We want barakah. We don't want quantity. We want quality. We want quality. So good deeds, we have so many good deeds and opportunities in the world today that a person, it would be hard for him to balance and implement that many good deeds. So much we can earn, so much we can earn. Alhamdulillah, we can stand as rich people. But what's the point here that we take the scolding here, and we're poor here and we're poor in hereafter. We have a terraced house here and we're poor in hereafter. Why should we be like this? Why should we be in poverty in the hereafter? We need to get ourselves out of the poverty of the hereafter and become wealthy in the hereafter. Wealthy. So now this is a very big fact we've understood. So how do we work towards this? So let's earn good deeds. Let's practice good deeds. Let's implement good deeds. So many ways, so many paths. And we can earn and practice good deeds in our routine, everyday, normal life. We don't have to change our lifestyle. We don't need to run after anything. You eat every day, don't you? You eat in the morning, afternoon, evening. Three times a day. If you eat more than this, then obviously you won't be well. So eating, even eating, we can earn good deeds whilst eating. So many opportunities. Why? Because if we eat in the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to his Sunnah Sharifa, then every morsel of food we eat will give us a good deed. And it's such a great deed to do amal on the sunnah. There's no greater good deed than this. No greater good deed than this. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. Can there be a greater deed, good deed than this? Rasulullah said, whoever loves my sunnah, I love him. Aha. Subhanallah. And we do all of the actions for loving the Prophet sallallahu, but the method that the Prophet sallallahu gave us to love him, we should implement that method. The best method. What a great statement. The Nabi al-Kareem s.a.w. said, whoever loves my sunnah, whoever follows my tariqah, my method, then I love that person. Whoever drinks water according to my sunnah, I love him. Whoever wears libas according to my sunnah, then I will love that person. Whoever is ashamed of me, of my sunnah, then whoever doesn't want to earn a good deed, he says, everything goes in the world. Yes, everything will go in this world. But look at this point. That same action we do in our routine every day, eating, drinking, standing, sitting, sleeping, clothes, wearing clothes, taking off, going, coming, going to the toilet, and urinating, etc. Everything is the deen of Islam. Everything. If in the morning we swear and promise on our mattress before we get up that today I'm going to implement all deeds according to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, and if I do work according to that tariqah from morning to evening, doesn't matter what happens, I swear by Allah, you will wake up in the morning, you will come back, and you'll be so wealthy in the akhirah that the angels will be tired of writing about your good deeds. I swear by Allah, I tell you this. You had, for example, you want to drive a car, you want to open your shop, run your business place. Everywhere we will learn that there's one tariqah through which we'll earn nothing, and there's the other tariqah method of following the Prophet of وَمَنْ أَحَبَ سُنَّتِي فَمَنْ أَحَبَنِي. Whoever follows my sunnah, I love him. وَمَنْ أَحَبَنِي مَا كَانَ that he will go in Jannah with me, said Rasulullah. He will go in Jannah with me into paradise with me. So I've told you now a tariqah of how to earn paradise. A method. And is there any greater and more beautiful method than this to follow the sunnah? Rasulullah said that that person, وَمَنْ أَحَبَنِي, that person will go with me into Jannah. So should we promise? We should make a firm promise. Person who's got intellect and wisdom will think, I am desperately in need for good deeds in the hereafter. So why don't I eat according to the sunnah, sit in the way of the sunnah, wash my hands in the form of the sunnah, drink water in the womb, the sunnah, way of the sunnah. If I forget, do it again. Say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the beginning. Alhamdulillah. And the food is going in the stomach in the way of the non-sunnah way is going and in the sunnah way is going. But our life has changed and improved. Just like I said, majlis. One is the majlis outside, disconnected from Allah, playing games, wasting time. One is connected to Allah, sitting in the house of Allah. Suddenly the form of that gathering has changed. Was this connected to Allah? That morsel of food that you're eating, if you did it in a way against the sunnah, it would go in and give you disease and illness or become cancer. But the same morsel of food you're eating according to the sunnah is going in your body as nur. And the blood that will be formulated with that sunnah way of food, you will recite Quran, do hifz of Quran, learn ilm, go on tabligh, go on chilla, spend time in the path of Allah. MashaAllah, you'll deliver affairs and blessings to this world and benefit, and you'll take benefit yourself. Alhamdulillah. So we are living the life of neglect. And what is the game that shaitan is playing with us? Imagine the game that if we say to somebody, practice this, no, this is not important. Where does it say you have to do this? This is not necessary for us to do this. Why do you say we have to follow the sunnah? We don't even understand what's necessary already now. You haven't understood until now that one, we need good deeds desperately in the hereafter. And if this is not a good deed, what is it? Tell me, following the sunnah. Can there be no greater need than this, than the deeds that we will be desperate for in the hereafter? When Allah Ta'ala's judgment will stand in front of us. One is the salah we pray. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm forcing you, I'm telling you have to pray salah fard. Yes, if you love me, then I will see that you're praying nafil of tahajjud. And then I'll know that this person definitely does love me. Allah will say. That Rasulullah, if we love Rasulullah, then we will realize when we do amal on the sunnah, when we wear imamah, when we wear white attire, and we have the same lifestyle and method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that child would be greater than thousands of worshippers if he implements the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this day and age. I'm telling you this clearly. His daraja, his status will be higher. This is a great hadith. The Rasulullah said, "Man ahya sunnati inda fasad al ummati." The hadith of the Prophet that he, in the time of tribulation, challenge, test, when you will not see my sunnah anywhere, masjids will be empty, ibadat, places of worship will be empty, and from the houses sunnah will come out. In such a time, if a person follows my one sunnah and revives my one sunnah, he will get the reward of 100 shuhada. 100 shuhada, their good deeds. That don't you pray salah? We pray salah. Do you pray salah? That instead of topi cap, why don't you put imam on your head? What difference is made? Tell me the difference in this. What's the difference? That, tell me a difference. Is it a burden? Is this a burden? That you are getting such a great reward that you get 70 times more reward in the salah if you were imamah. And on top of that, that give me a guarantee that your salah is accepted by Allah. But when you practice the sunnah will guarantee that your salah is accepted. Subhanallah. Because if you gain thawab more, Allah Ta'ala is accepting, Allah is giving more reward, then obviously the salah has to be accepted for the reward to come, isn't it? Yes? So either we keep on being ashamed, we don't consider deeds as worthy, or I say, no, I haven't come to this world to earn the world, I've come to earn the hereafter. The hereafter, the akhirah. What da'wah am I giving to people about sunnah? I don't do amal myself. What direction am I calling people to? That the sunnah is not even alive on me. I keep thinking that the sunnah is a minor. One miswak, the two stick. The miswak. Do miswak before wudu. And see how your salah reaches the heights and the thawab that you will get. The reward. Tell me. So, if we keep on thinking, oh, I don't need to do this. I don't need, there's not necessary. It's okay without the sunnah. Then those same people say that without even topi you can pray. Those same people say, and people pray salah without the cap. Yes, if you want to keep things running, you can keep things running the way you want and follow the nafs. So what's the game that's being played today with the deen? I don't understand. We have lowered our standards. Atiullah wa atiur Rasul, faqad faza fawzan azima. Successful is that person who has obeyed Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and followed them. What's the game that we're playing today with our deen? I don't understand. It's so confusing. Why have we just made the deen a game and lowered the standard? This is the sign of Qiyamah today. We are close to Qiyamah. These are the signs of Qiyamah. Today, let's promise to Allah. Today, number one, that Allah has sent us to earn good deeds, and we should not waste the opportunity to earn and practice good deeds. From the smallest of opportunity to earn good deeds, I have to say to myself, do I want to be that person who's pleading and begging on the day of judgment? Remember, your mother is your closest relative. She loves you most in the world, and she feeds you with milk in this world. And on the day of judgment, you say, go. You're asking me for a good deed? You want to lower my results? And that will be the day of judgment. No one will help. So from today, if you come to the masjid, if you, my friends, understand what I'm saying, if the message is coming into your heart, Allah says that time is coming, our hearts will be dark, our eyesight vision, our ears will be deaf, dumb and blind, and Allah Ta'ala then puts a seal on that person. Let's ask Allah for protection from this conclusion. When we hear the good things, when we hear the good words, small points a person's making you understand that, do amal on this. How great a point. It's not a big thing, is it? If we put imam on our heads and come. That if today this becomes fashion, then everyone will wear the imam. But it's fashion. If it becomes a trend today, you know, isn't it today the trend to become naked? It's a fashion, isn't it? What do people not do today under the name of fashion and trend? So let's consider this is a fashion. And who's given this fashion? This is Allah's fashion. Aha! Now you understand what I'm saying. That go to work, wander in the world and journey, and you're earning good deeds. We're not putting the imam on to become walis of Allah, become pious, and I am an alim. We are wearing the imam up because it's the sunnah of Rasulullah. And we want to make a connection with him until the day of judgment. Yes, so when we practice this, that our nisbat in this world, we practice to make a connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then imagine we will wake up with him, rise with him on the day of judgment. That's why we're practicing here. If we don't practice here, then we won't benefit in the hereafter, would we? Quran Rasulullah sallam gave, Salah Rasulullah sallam gave, we got everything through his wasila, and we have left his nisbat, his connection. We start to dislike his ways, and we run away, far away from his practice, from his sunnah, from his example. Tell me, how can this be? How long does it take to earn and practice one deed? Recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala Ali wa sahbihi wa sallim. Have you prayed? Have you recited this suddenly? Within a few seconds. So light a statement, so easy. And have you thought in your heart that Allah has given me such an ease that, for example, if £10 comes in your pocket, where's this £10 come from? You keep on looking at it time and time again. If you see £5 or £10 in your pocket, that's what I do. Isn't it? This £10, where did it come from? I had 20. How did it become 30? Oh, sometimes I'll keep on looking at £10. Oh, it's good. Barakah. Oh, this is Allah's barakah. Allah's, what a great miracle. That I had 10 and it's become 20. And then I'll kiss the £10. Oh, I enjoy myself. Astaghfirullah. Enjoyment in the shaitanate of money? One durood sharif. Oh, it's nothing. I don't need to do it, we say. Oh, it's alright, I'll do it. Oh, servants of Allah, one durood. Allah's Nabi said that the angels, they rejoice that when a person sends durood on me, the angels deliver that durood to me. And Ajib hadith, I tell you about Durood Sharif, sending Durood Salat wa Salam on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Understand what is Durood. Durood is a beautiful action. When a person recites Durood, then the angel pats him on the back. And the angel takes his Durood to the heavens. And Allah Ta'ala says, oh angel, whose Durood is that you brought? He says, Allah, this person on the world recited this Durood. Allah says, take his Durood back to his grave, and this Durood will go to his grave, and it will keep on asking for forgiveness for that person until Allah Ta'ala forgives that person. Subhanallah. So have we got time or haven't we got time? Do we have time today or don't we have time? May it not be that we have not ill yet, are we? Our legs aren't crooked. Go to the hospital, my brothers, our relatives and friends and people. Someone's leg is broken, crooked. Someone's mouth is crooked. Can this not happen to me or you? Go and say to that person, recite durood. They say, how can I recite durood? I cannot even do anything. I can't move my mouth. You can't hear. So let's be grateful to Allah today. Allah has given us health and we eat 7 chapatis. We consume 5 chickens. Yes, and Pepsi and Coke cans we drink to the bottom, the whole tin. And we don't know, thousands of goats we will have eaten up till today and we don't even burp. And when we recite, don't even recite one durood, are we ashamed of this? And is this the haqq that we are fulfilling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tell me, is this the haqq of Allah that we're fulfilling? Is this shukr? Is this being grateful to Allah? Tell me, is this being grateful to Allah? No, this is being ungrateful. Let's wake up. Allah's given us ni'mas. And how are we grateful for the great ni'mas Allah's given to us? We don't even recite durood on Rasulullah, Allah's Habib. Make a program in your life. Listen to another hadith. Person who recites 10 durood in the morning, and in the evening he recites 10 durood. Allah's Nabi has said that my shafaat has become wajib on that person. Compulsory. Subhanallah, we've said it. But from today we have to start. Do you promise? How many times? 10 times. Small sunnah, durood, shortened one. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is it? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very easy. Simple. Short. How many times? 10 times. Lie down in your bed and say. And Rasulullah said, my shifaat, my intercession will be wajib on that man or woman Who recites durood? Are you any good deeds or not? Tell me. How long does it take? Do you have to do wudu? Do you have to jump off a cliff or something? No. You're earning good deeds just sitting down. MashaAllah. So this is what I've come to share with you today. And that we need to earn good deeds. Not one. Say subhanallah. Say subhanallah again. Say subhanallah again. Allahu Akbar. Imagine. In Jannah, one tree is uprooted when the person says subhanallah. When the tree will be uprooted and grown for me, that means I will go there, won't I? Because obviously you will be deserving of Jannah if Allah has given you a tree in Jannah. What great short kalamats Allah Ta'ala has taught us. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr now, remembrance, tell me. And how foolish we are, mad, crazy, stupid. Our prayer salah, that's enough. Is that enough? Alhamdulillah, we've all prayed salah. But what will I get from this salah that I've just prayed? What will I get? That Allah Ta'ala has given us totally open playing field. Allah has given us chances. Why do I leave the opportunities to practice? Make a routine. What's a routine? That 10 times I'm going to recite Durood Sharif in the morning and 10 times in the evening. Number one. And in my life, I'm going to implement the method of lifestyle of who? The sunnah. Eating, drinking, standing, sitting, drinking water, sitting and drinking three sips of water, alhamdulillah, doing shukr and washing hands and putting dasturkhan out, and then eating properly and doing dua after eating. And all of the food will become noor ala noor. And all of the good deeds will be laid out in stacks. And you get more reward in following the sunnah in your daily lifestyle than going on umrah and hajj. The accepted ibadah. Maqbool ibadah. Can there be a greater reward than this? Tell me. Can there be? Can there be a greater reward than this? So two things here. Yes, that I've shared already. Now, let's move forward. Allahu Akbar. With regards to the hereafter now. With regards to the hereafter. Because after this life, we have to go to the hereafter. Everyone will pass away. So I'm speaking about the hereafter. The eternal life. Now the situation in the hereafter can be very dangerous. The situation with regards to the hereafter, success and failure hinges, pivots on one point. I told you two facts, and I'll come to the third, then we'll start doing our action of dhikr today. So first I mention actions, practice good deeds. Second, Durood Sharif, and success and failure in the hereafter will hinge on when we depart from this world with Iman. What do we need to depart from this world with? Iman. That's when we will say we've attained success. Now there's no guarantee that me and you have. We have no guarantee. Who can say that I will be reciting the kalama in the final days? How do I know in the final seconds I'll be reciting the kalama? Is there any guarantee? But that person will be successful. Have I prayed many salahs and done hajj and umrah, I've done tabligh and I've gone out on chilla. Fine, you've done all of this. But we have not succeeded. Did Hazrat Umar radiallahu have guarantee? Did Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu have guarantee? So how can I say I'm guaranteed? My deeds are guaranteed. So this is so dangerous. Why is it dangerous? I'll tell you the reason why it's so dangerous. That Iman is a wealth. Iman is wealth. And this wealth, if we take it with us to hereafter, then we're successful. And if this hereafter somebody loots it, steals it before I pass away, then I will fail in the hereafter. If you have money in your pocket, 10,000 you have in your pocket, in your bag, and you say, I'll go and buy something with this money. Yes, I will buy a car. Or you go to your car and you put your hand in your pockets, and instead of money, you put your hand in the pocket and your hand comes back out of the pocket empty-handed. Oh, you'll have doubt. Does this not happen in dunya? Oh, my pocket, 10,000 pounds left, right, up and down. You look at all your pockets, but you put your hand, somebody put his hands into your pocket, pickpocket, and he stole from you, a thief, and he took your 10,000. Suddenly, will you be able to purchase the car, the vehicle? No. End of story. End of story. So you're coming back. So what happens? Oh, my pockets are empty. Oh, I've been robbed. Oh, I've lost everything. You cannot do nothing. So this will be the situation with the person of Iman, and they will have to listen to what I'm saying clearly, clearly. Whose condition is this? Who will have experienced this? The mu'min. So if this Iman stays with us when we are about to pass away and Malakul Maud, the angel of death, comes, alhamdulillah, we have Iman, then we'll have the best death. And if we lose Iman and the pickpocket, the thief, takes our Iman, and is a very dangerous thief. Who's the thief? Aduwwum mubeen, Allah Ta'ala has termed him. The whole Quran defines shaitan, the greatest, biggest, strongest pickpocket and bandit. And the person who steals and who commits theft is on the iman of a mu'min. When a person is about to die a mu'min, shaitan grabs and steals his iman. Subhanallah. Remember this point. Remember this point. So it's very dangerous. And when we, at that time when we're departing, and our pocket has been, you can say, the items have been stolen from us, then we will not be able to reclaim it back. So how do we protect such a way that guaranteed we will die with iman. I will tell you the formula. Subhanallah. Do you want to hear what I'm saying? This is a very valuable point. One thing I'll tell you through which, alhamdulillah, our iman will become guaranteed with the fadl of Allah. Our iman up to death will be guaranteed. So what do we need for this? Let's start preparing now so that when we pass away with iman. So that the thief cannot take from our pockets. Sometimes a person puts money in an internal pocket that the pickpocket steals from all pockets, but he can't get to the inner pockets. Allah has given us such a trick that if we implement this action, then shaitan cannot get to our iman and he cannot steal our iman. What is that action? Husn dhan, having good hopes and desires and thoughts about other people. And with Allah, we should be hopeful. Not about other people, human beings, but with Allah, we should be hopeful and have hope that Allah will be merciful to us. He will do His fadl to us. And this is a great thought to have. A person who has this quality, that he has good feelings and relations with Allah, that he is hopeful Allah will be merciful, Allah will forgive me, inshallah, then that person will have a good passing away and a good hereafter. But this is not simple to have a good relationship with Allah. Don't think I'll just get it automatically, you'll get it. Allah has given us an amal, an action that results in making a good bond with Allah so we can be hopeful of Allah's mercy. And with husn dhan, by being hopeful in Allah, guaranteed we will pass away with him. And I remember an event I'll share with you in Shubh al-Iman. There's an event that has been narrated, and there was an individual who this person's nephew, and he became ill. The nephew, he was very ill, and he brought him the nephew, and it was his sister's son. This was, and what happened, that he was very ill and he was about to die, pass away, and he told his sister that come, because he's very ill, your son. And when the sister came, she saw her son on the deathbed like, and she started to cry. She was in a very bad state. So the son asked the mother, why are you crying? He said, uncle, why is my mother crying? What's happened to her? Why is she crying? And the uncle and the mother replied that, shouldn't I cry? You are my love, you are my heart, and I love you. And I love you, and shouldn't I cry if you're possible? And he said, mother, there's somebody who loves me much more than you, much more than you. Subhanallah. And he has rahm and mercy, and he loves me hundreds and thousands times more than you. And then he passed away. And this was husn-e-zan. He had high hopes for Allah. And they said that when we dug his grave and we lowered his body into the grave, we were about to bury him. When we were putting the soil over his body and finally the bricks on the top of the grave, Pakistan, Indian subcontinent, then the mother said, when I looked towards the grave, the uncle said, we were amazed that this was an open, wild place of land and there was no grave there. And it became such a beautiful garden at that time. So I said to the person next to me, is it just me who's watching this and you? And that person said, I'm watching this as well. And it's happening. Why is this happening? Because did you hear his final words, what he said? That you have not hope in Allah's rahmah, mother, that I am hopeful in Allah's mercy. So this was his husn-e-zan, his high hopes. So what does this become? So it becomes, subhanAllah, that person departed with iman, with faith. So if we want to depart with iman, my friends, that mashallah, we shouldn't just have hope in our deeds. That we don't just think that we have guaranteed we've earned, but those things that Allah Ta'ala said that if you do those actions, you'll definitely have success thereafter. We should have high hopes and in Allah's mercy, but how do we earn that status of high hopes with Allah? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a tariqah. Let's listen to that. If we do that tariqah, if I tell you that tariqah, will you do that tariqah? Yes, this is the thing. If you do this action, then the high hopes in Allah will come about. When we have high hopes in Allah, Allah's mercy, then we will pass away from this world guaranteed with iman, guaranteed. So my brothers, what is that condition where Allah Ta'ala will definitely give to us the death with iman? From the Quran and the Hadith, the pious predecessors have given the great examples. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That do the dhikr of Allah in high number, quantity, abundance, so you can attain success. Remember Allah كَثِيرًا كَثِيرًا وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. So to create high hopes in Allah for Allah's mercy, to earn Allah's mercy, we need to do dhikr in high quantity, abundance. When a person does the dhikr of Allah, then what happens? Subhanallah, he creates a link with Allah. And as soon as that link is made with Allah, then his conviction and relationship with Allah, the bond strengthens, and he has yaqeen in Allah, certainty in Allah, high hopes with Allah. He'll have such a solid yaqeen that Allah will never give me punishment. Allah will not punish me. Subhanallah. So dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, the remembrance of Allah is such a great action, such a great na'mah, that a person will then create a strong bond with Allah and have high hopes in Allah. If a person wants a strong bond with Allah and has high hopes with Allah, so Allah's relationship with that person is strong, and alhamdulillah, my hopes can increase, that Allah will give me rewards in the hereafter, then he should do the dhikr of Allah. She should do the dhikr of Allah. Look, has a Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. His final, a great long hadith, and the final nasiha, I'll tell you the summary of all of this discussion so we understand. Listen to this clearly. As a Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, the Rasulullah said, remember one action, O Mu'adh. The Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, do it in abundance and do his dhikr of Allah in such a way that make sure your tongue is moist with dhikr of Allah, that when you're departing from this world, your tongue should be moist with the dhikr, with the name of Allah. Moist, moist, end of story. That's the learning. That was the final statement of that long hadith. Great sahabi. As a Mu'adh ibn Jabal, if you want to depart successful, the Rasulullah didn't say, do this amal, this amal. The Rasulullah gave a long nasiha. And in the conclusion, the summary is that take hold of the dhikr of Allah so strongly that when you depart from this world, your tongue should be moist with the dhikr of Allah, so that guaranteed you depart with iman from this world. Guaranteed. Subhanallah. Do you understand the point of today, my friends? So this is the dhikr of Allah. This is the dhikr of Allah. But if we reject this today, let's promise to ourselves today that the dhikr of Allah, the practice of Allah's remembrance, we will include in our daily schedule. Daily schedule. Three things have come now. Number one, sunnah, the way of the sunnah, the method of the sunnah, and our entire lifestyle. Secondly, what I mentioned was what? Was what? Durood Sharif, mashallah. I thought maybe you've forgotten. So reciting Durood Sharif 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening, true solid promise. And the third thing, dhikr kathira. Dhikran kathira. Dhikr in high quantity. Now dhikr on its own, not good enough. Because Allah is saying, dhikran kathira, wadhkurullaha kathiran. Allah Ta'ala is saying, not just dhikr on its own, but Allah Ta'ala is saying, I want you to do dhikr kathiran. Kathiran, high quantity dhikr, high quantity. So do we leave our shop, our homes? Do we sit in a corner, isolation and solitary confinement? Do we? But is this the meaning of dhikr kathiran, that we leave everything in the world and do dhikr? Allah Ta'ala doesn't say 1,000, 5,000, 10,000. The meaning of kathira, high quantity, this does not mean kathira, kathira. There are two ways of doing dhikr. Two ways. And there's one way to make it high quantity, kathira dhikr. There are two ways of dhikr. One is dhikr, doing dhikr, taking tasbih, beads, 100 times, subhanallah, 100 times, alhamdulillah, 100 times. Doing dhikr. Yes, this is dhikr. Even if you do 10,000, 15,000, this is not kathira. Not quantity. This is not kathira. High quantity. Dhikr and kathira is what? Subhanallah. This dhikr, if you do dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar, you count it. Dhikr and kathira is different. Kathir dhikr will be done from where? Not from the tasbih. Not from the rosary beads. Not from counting. It's done from the heart. And where is it done from? The heart. Subhanallah. So here, we don't move our tongues for dhikr and kathira, not our fingers, not our hands, not counting, rather, dhikr and kathira, if you want to do it, you have to do dhikr of Allah in your heart. Your tongue has to stop, everything is silent, your heart will recite Allah's name. Because Allah says, I've made the heart to remember me. I've made the heart to remember me. So we will do dhikr, alhamdulillah, we do dhikr, 100 tasbih in the morning, 100 dhikr in the evening. Allah says, this is no value. You will not get the effect of dhikr and kathira from verbal dhikr. What will be the result of dhikr? Dhikr and kathira. So if I ask you, what is dhikr and kathira? Dhikr of the heart. And if you ask me, how do we do dhikr of the heart? The answer to that, it's so simple, my friend, so simple. The more we try, we take this beam, we try our best. This is so many times over easier than that. So many times easier than that. So it happens, even if you do tasbih for an hour, subhanallah. Here, if you do dhikr for 1 minute, it will increase the reward 70 times. How many times? 70 times. And your darajat, they increase. And a person gets close to Allah. And the reward Allah Ta'ala has given for dhikr, Allah says, husni dhan, that will be created at that time. Yes? So the thawab, the reward, who has done this, mashallah, tell me, who has done this? Sometimes, how sad that we haven't done this dhikr properly. Is this preparation for death that we are doing? Tell me, is this preparation for death? Is this preparation for the akhirah, my friends? No. That tomorrow Allah will ask us, this whole Quran was full. When you see, wherever there was the word dhikr and kathira, dhikr and kathira, dhikr and kathira. Wherever Allah Ta'ala says dhikr, Allah says dhikr and kathira. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikr and kathira. Allah Ta'ala says, do dhikr, then do kathira. Do dhikr, do kathira. Do dhikr, do kathira. Until you haven't, today you haven't understood. Allah says, do dhikr, but do my dhikr from your heart so you can get benefit, Allah Ta'ala says. How many people do this? Tell me. Dhikr from the heart. Put your hands up. Don't be upset with what I'm saying. Yeah, is this an estimate? Is that it? Is this the estimate for? Is this the preparation for the hereafter? Is this the amount of people who are doing dhikr in the heart? Tell me. This is not good enough. Allah Ta'ala said, do dhikran kathira. Have you paid attention? Allah says in the whole Quran, do dhikr kathira, kathira, kathira. Abundance, abundance. And we just take all of tasbih. Has nobody told you that kathir dhikr is not this? That this is not how we will create the strong link with Allah? This is not how we'll do it. Yes, the Allah Ta'ala says, your lives don't change and improve. We do dhikr. And the dhikr from the verbal, from the tongue doesn't change. We need to change our lives internally. And we have to do dhikr kathira for this reason. And that's how we will improve. Isn't it? That's how we'll improve. So do you understand what I'm saying? That don't do dhikr from the tongue. Rather, we need to do dhikr from the heart. We have to do dhikr of the heart. And this is kathiran kathira. This is dhikr kathiran kathira. When a person does dhikr in the heart, it's very easy. Can be learned very easy. And from this dhikr, it's 100 times easier than dhikr of the tongue. And so much easier than subhanAllah. Every individual is Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ لَا قِيَامَهُمْ وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. What does Allah say? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah says you do tasbih from dhikr, verbally, from the tongue. Allah says I want you to do dhikr, قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Whether you're walking, standing, sitting or lying down, but your heart should be doing my dhikr, Allah says. Your heart. So dhikr is done from the heart. Have you ever seen that you're sleeping, Allah, 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 and you're snoring? No. No, wali Allah, have you ever seen any Kutub Abdal that he's sleeping and he's saying, oh, give me tasbih, let me sleep and do dhikr of Allah. Have you ever seen someone snoring and saying, Allah, 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 at the same time, subhanAllah. Those people whose hearts are alive, they're sleeping and they're doing dhikr of Allah at the same time, subhanAllah. And this is what they're doing. So has the message come to you now, what I'm saying? Has the message come to you? Summun bukun, we are not, are we? We're not, are we? So summun bukun, oh, it was a great speech today. Oh, Manchester Bolton, they were great people and they came and they said this. No, we have not come here for speeches. I've come here to give a gift, to share a gift with you. So that some conclusion, some benefit, because so we have a strong friendship that you can say, oh, a fakir came and he gave a gift and he made our lives. So at least my coming is beneficial and your coming is beneficial. Inshallah, in Jannah, we'll be together. Inshallah. So shall I give you the gift? Whoever wants the gift, put your hands up. Who wants the gift from me? Aha, mashallah, so many people, mashallah, kamal. That I didn't have these hopes, that I didn't even know I was coming to this masjid. So let me say two, three things more, that mashallah, Bradford is a great place. That I've wandered around the world, I've never seen so many people who are keen and yearning. You're so brave, mashallah. So why do you go to the back, mashallah? Why do you look to the back? Very brave. And this is the preparation of the hereafter, that you want to learn, you want to improve. You made me feel young today, mashallah. You made me feel young. So what have we come here to learn today? The dhikr of the heart. This gift I will give to you, subhanAllah. And it's such a gift. We're sleeping, awake, walking, talking, sitting, wherever we are. But you can do what you want, but your heart will say, Allah, Allah, Allah. So will we do this dhikr? We will learn this dhikr? MashaAllah. I'm not coming to make you murids or students or disciples. I haven't come here for piri, muridi. I've come to give you a gift. Gift. There's no piri murid here. I won't say to you, oh, come here, take your money out and give me money and chanda and charity. No, I've come here to share with you dhikr. So why? Because I'm the same. We're all the same. And we are so, I was so upset in the world. SubhanAllah, somebody showed me the right path. Why don't you do dhikr of Allah? That I said, I do dhikr. He said, let me teach you how to do dhikr. MashaAllah, this was Madinatul Manawara from 40, 50, 60 years before today. There was a friend of Allah. He said to me, why are you so upset? I was young, 30 years old. I used to study in university here in Manchester. 20, 30 years old. And I said, I don't feel like doing anything in the world. I've done everything in the dunya. I don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like doing things and messing about. I've got money and wealth. He said, totally, you've come to the right place. When Allah Ta'ala wants to correct somebody, then He makes that person feel empty. He said, do dhikr. I said, Mawlana Sahib, I do. Mawlana Sahib said, do tasbih, subhanAllah. He said, is this dhikr? He said, this is just breakfast time. That's the starter, like we eat. We'll eat five chicken drumsticks and chicken legs. What will we eat after that? That's just the starter. Learn dhikr. How? And that wali wala said, come, I will teach you. It was a Naqshbandi sheikh sitting there, 70 years old, 80 years old, mashallah. And he said, let's teach this young man dhikr. And he said, okay, fine. I've lifted my shirt and he put the finger on my heart. He said, Allah, four times, Allah, 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 Allah. And my life was made. And I'm sat in front of you now. Today, my life changed and improved, and noor ala noor, and dhikr kathira started in my life. Now, whatever I do, my heart is saying, Allah, 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 Allah. So I made a promise that the way I was taught, and I was taught dhikr, I will also teach the dunya this dhikr as well, free of charge. So will you learn today? MashaAllah. So let's start today. Time is short, and there's so much to do. You've understood what I've said. What time is adhan here, my brother? 6 p.m.? Okay, inshallah. So until 6 p.m., we'll do this action. We'll do dhikr of Allah. Remember, Sibyl, I'll tell you how to do dhikr. Then we'll do maraqabah, close the eyes, and we'll do silent dhikr in the heart. Then we'll pray Isha Salah. Those brothers, individuals who want to learn dhikr, please stay seated, and inshallah, we'll teach the dhikr of the heart. So I'll put some extra time on, inshallah. I had to go, and I needed to go and gave a program further on, but I put some extra time in with you, because there's short time now, isn't it? So I'll give you some extra time. So learn dhikr and depart, I tell you. Otherwise, there'll be a lot of regret on the Day of Judgment. Lord, whether I come or not, I tell you. But such a chance you will not get in life, I tell you. I tell you. Such a faqir you will not get, that who gives you dhikr in this way. Guaranteed, I tell you. You will not get dhikr like this. How long has this masjid been here in place, present? 10 years? Has this masjid been here? How many years has this masjid been here? 6 years? More than 20 years. Has anybody come here in 20 years and taught you dhikr in that time? So this is the rahmah, mercy of Allah, my friends. This is the karam, the rahmah, the fadl of Allah. 20 years that this earth was thirsty for the dhikr of Allah. Thirsty, tell me. Tell me. How Allah Ta'ala was ill in my heart. Allah put this thought. I said to my friends, find a masjid. My heart feel like that I come to Bradford and teach the dhikr of Allah. Myself, 10-15 years after I've come here, after 10-15 years, I said to my colleagues that this masjid, who knows the dhikr here? I said, go and ask them, request. He said, there's a masjid there. What's the name of this masjid? Masjid Bilal? Ah. I said, go here. Such a great name. Let's go here. I said, let's go here. And he said, okay, fine. So how have we felt? I felt I have to get to this masjid today, I thought. Doesn't matter how low I feel or unhealthy. And I dragged myself and I came to you. Whose karam is this? Allah's karam, Allah's mercy. I don't know which individual was here who Allah Ta'ala wanted to forgive. Allah says, whoever I want to forgive, then 1 year before I start him to prepare towards good doing good deeds so that he can become forgiven. This is a guaranteed jannati here. Until today, I haven't even said anything until now. Then inshallah, if we meet again, I'll tell you that this dhikr, what you earn from doing dhikr kathira. So if you want to learn this dhikr, promise 3 things. Durood Sharif 10 times, morning and evening. Live your lives according to the sunnah. And wear imamah in your life. Bring it into your life. And pray salah. And wear imamah and pray salah. And eating, drinking. Don't follow dunya. Don't be ashamed. Doesn't matter what anyone says, forget it, I'm following the sunnah. And this is a free of charge transaction. Why should we be ashamed of following the sunnah? And bring the whole color of the sunnah into your lives and you'll become the greatest ashik and lover of the deen. And the third thing is the dhikr of Allah. When what do you get with the dhikr of Allah? Guaranteed you'll depart from this world with iman. Guaranteed. I've told you the hadith, many. There are many. As Mu'adh ibn Jabal, great hadith. Inshallah, after Isha, I will teach you dhikr. Please stay seated. And now let's for a little while do the dhikr of Allah.